South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program, Very Remote. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, July 5th, 2021. Some South Sudanese say good health care is still hard to find in their country after 10 years of independence.
I bought each at £6,000 from a private pharmacy outside the hospital. The bill for all these drugs is more than £200,000, apart from £120,000 that I would pay for operations.
And a South Sudanese disabled military officer is pleading for help from well-wishers.
I met with the Minister of Defense. She promised me some months back that she will do something. Maybe she have a lot of work. I don't know. She said she misplaced my papers.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. This week marks the 10th anniversary of South Sudan's independence. 10 years ago, the people of South Sudan could not hide their joy when the country was born after 21 years of war between the people of Southern Sudan and Sudan. South Sudan obtained independence on July 9, 2011. Shortly afterward, South Sudan became engulfed in civil war. Several peace agreements failed to end the conflict, and mass atrocities were committed based on ethnicity. The United Nations said the violence killed more than 500,000 civilians, displaced more than 4 million others, and spread warnings of genocide. Throughout the week, South Sudan in Focus is airing future stories about issues close to the hearts of South Sudanese as the country celebrates its 10th birthday. Some South Sudanese say the ruling SPLM has done very little to fulfill the pledges made during the 21 years of fighting for independence. Some South Sudanese say healthcare remains inadequate, including very few public health facilities. But health officials say lack of funding is to blame for the poor services, while other officials say insecurity in parts of the country makes it difficult to provide health services. For VOA News, Onan Walter Solomon reports from Juba.
38-year-old David Ladu sits on a bed inside the male emergency ward at the Juba Teaching Hospital, where he came for a checkup as an outpatient. Ladu's left hand was fractured in a domestic dispute nearly 3 months ago. He was transferred from Yambi Hospital to Juba Teaching Hospital, where he received several weeks of treatment. Last week, Ladu was discharged after doctors felt his hand was healing steadily. Ladu says traveling from Yambi to Juba for medical treatment was expensive. He had to pay 30,000 South Sudanese pounds in transport fare for himself and his caretaker from Yambi to Juba. Although he was eventually admitted, Ladu said he spent a couple of days waiting to be seen by a doctor, as the few available doctors on duty were busy. He says the doctors are scheduled to operate his hand soon, but says in the meantime he had to buy expensive prescription medicine from private pharmacies.
I bought each at £6,000 from a private pharmacy outside the hospital. The bill for all these drugs is more than £200,000, apart from £120,000 that I would pay for operations. My family gets contribution from relatives, friends, and charitable people who come to visit me here. If it is me alone, I could not manage the medical bills.
Balding, Secretary General of the South Sudan Doctors Union, says since the signing of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement in 2005, authorities in Juba have allocated meager resources for the health sector each fiscal year. He says the budget allocated for health sector has been cut year after year, including last year. During the April 2001 African Union summit in Abuja, Nigeria, heads of state pledged to allocate at least 15% of their annual budgets to improve the health sector in their respective countries. In South Sudan's 2019-2020 fiscal year budget, the government allocated 525 million South Sudanese pounds for health out of a total 208 billion South Sudanese pound budget, which is far less than the year before. Deng says the current budget is not enough to provide adequate health services for the people of South Sudan.
This is too small even to cover the components of quality health service that we need as a country. When you see now, the part of this health financing is covered by, you know, NGOs.
Deng says years of low funding has demoralized healthcare workers, adding that working conditions at government hospitals and health facilities continue to deteriorate across the country.
Majority of health workers are leaving the work in public hospitals or public health facilities to work with NGOs, so humanitarian work, or to work in private companies, or let's say in private hospitals. So this is affecting our public facilities serving the majority of the population.
Deng says while the doctors' union has been calling on the government to increase the salaries and incentives of health workers and improve their working conditions, the government has yet to do so. South Sudan's health sector is largely supported by local and international NGOs. Some NGOs say insecurity caused by cattle rustling and intercommunal fighting in parts of the country and fighting between government and rebel forces in other areas has hindered the delivery of health services to the South Sudanese people. Deng says many doctors have continued to work in health facilities despite limited resources and drugs. Anita Peter, a health worker based in Central Equatorial State Yei County, who provided COVID-19 vaccinations in Morobo County last month, says insecurity makes it difficult for health workers to deliver services, especially in rural areas.
The insecurity in our country is the most fact that people even fear, though you want to deliver the services, but you will think of your life. What should I do with my life? Now I'm sacrificing my life. Then if you are just on the road, you just give yourself to go. Sometimes you may request drugs. Maybe you are very far from Yei, the center, and you are in Morobo, and then you request drugs on the road. Maybe you don't know the life of this person will end up on the road without even reaching the place.
Joseph Gama, operations manager at national NGO Health Link South Sudan, says the government should invest in the health sector and improve its referral system to prevent deaths that are often caused by delays in accessing health care, especially in rural areas where services are delivered in makeshift structures or under trees.
This is happening, especially the poor road conditions and lack of ambulance services in some remote areas. Usually mothers die due to such delays because they cannot reach facilities within the required time. But everywhere around the country, there is difficult in referrals.
As part of the effort to improve South Sudan's health care, Meshack Malo, head of the UN Food and Agricultural Organization in South Sudan, says the government should provide its people with nutritious food, particularly the country's 1.4 million children suffering from acute malnutrition.
Any disease, no matter how small, can easily sweep them out. So one of the areas in which the government must really invest is ensuring that South Sudan is able to produce its own food. As we now celebrate, we are happy that both the opposition and government are together. So the issue of sufficient food production will play a big role in the nutritional status.
Lucien Christian, the International Committee of the Red Cross Public Relations Officer in South Sudan, said despite the overall cessation of hostilities, the country's weak health care system needs significant support to meet the basic needs of communities.
Across South Sudan, vulnerable persons continue to die from curable diseases or wounds as access to health care remains very limited. 9% of children die before the age of 5, according to World Bank data. Many people must walk hours and sometimes days to reach the nearest health care practitioner. As only estimated 40% of healthcare centers in South Sudan remain functional, according to the UN.
Christian says attacks against medical workers and facilities are some of the factors that have contributed to what he calls a dramatic situation in South Sudan. The ICRC has provided surgical care to more than 9,000 persons since the birth of the country in 2011, according to Christian.
We have also doubled the support we provide to people living with physical disabilities in 3 centers in South Sudan. These people and others across the country will continue to need extensive physical and psychosocial support as they adjust to the life-changing impact of living with a disability. Humanitarian organizations like the International Committee of the Red Cross, together with the authorities, have a critical role to play in building the resilience and capabilities of communities to face these shocks.
The ICRC works with South Sudan's health ministry in supporting two surgical units in Akobo and Juba, as well as 21 primary health care centers across the country. As the humanitarian consequences of armed violence continue to kill and injure hundreds of persons each year, Christian says authorities and communities will need to work together to build key infrastructure to ensure essential services are available. Health Ministry Undersecretary Dr. Mayen Machuta-Chek did not respond to repeated calls and text messages requesting the government's view of the challenges facing healthcare workers, as well as its plans to improve service delivery in the health sector. For VOA News, I am Onan Walter Solomon in Juba.
In the week leading up to South Sudan's 10th independence anniversary celebration, our reporter Sheila Pony took to the streets of Juba to ask South Sudanese how they feel about celebrating the country's 10th anniversary of independence and years of conflict and other challenges.
My name is Mariba. For me, this would rather mean the beginning of a nation of its own, since it's still young, or the beginning of an endless painful wait, because all we have had is fluctuation of currency. Instead of uniting as a nation that wanted to be on its own, is tribalism and war going on and on. So the hope for some of us, like entrepreneurs like me, has gone to waste, because you don't see where you're headed to. You cannot estimate where you want to be tomorrow because you don't know what to expect.
My name is Arube Hussein Khalil, a South Sudanese. My profession is a driver. The question about the independence, yes, we have achieved it, but we have not yet fulfilled it. Within 1 year or 2 years of after independence, immediately, the country also break out. Up to today, still we are struggling and then trying to unite ourselves. There is nothing that is coming out of it.
My name is Mapor. The independence meant a lot to me. But right now, it's a different story. I was 16 years old when South Sudan got independence. I didn't know back then what it really meant. But my grandpa told me that if independence happened and people vote, that there will be big roads, smooth ones, not with potholes. There will be lights. I really, really wanted to see lights. There will be better schools, like the way we're studying under the trees in one of the primary schools I studied in. That was what I was expecting. That was my expectations. But now that we're having 10 years and celebrating this, I just don't know. I'm not seeing it anymore. It's a different story.
I'm Philip Aguirre-Panyang, currently lecturer at Juba University, Institute of Peace and Security Studies. The 10th anniversary of the independence of South Sudan, it means for the people of South Sudan that they have survived the conflicts. It means they have managed to maintain the independence of South Sudan, which they achieved through a long, bitter historical ups and downs. With their struggle started with the resistance against colonialism.
My name is Jacob Rech Mopior. The 10th anniversary means the day that we celebrate our freedom from Sudan. And again, what we need during our celebrating, there are so many things that are not in place, like school, teachers are not being paying, so we have a lot of problems in the country, so we need this thing to be looked into.
This been Kulang Ulak Angelo. The 10th anniversary that we get from our independence in South Sudan, before we get our independence, we cannot able to achieve so many things from outside. But now, the time we get our independence since 2011 up to now 2021, we have seen some changes in South Sudan. But still, we need enough chance for our president to give us the chance so that we can get the freedom that we need as a student in South Sudan.
My name is Joe Okuna Albert. It doesn't necessarily mean there is something to celebrate, because we entered into a serious conflict that has brought the development efforts down. So what I can say, it means that we are just commemorating a day. We are just trying to remind us that on this day we have got independent. But the real meaning of independent, we have not actually experienced it, and we don't actually know what does it mean exactly by being independent, because economically we are seeing our country is getting down. We don't see anything that can make us proud of our country as a nation.
Anthony Awan Menyuat, 10 compulsory mean to me, we need people of South Sudan to come together to stop fighting. That is Afeni 2013 without a reason, cause. So what we are looking, a leader that can lead South Sudan, a promised land that all South Sudanese want to be live in. It is the day when South Sudanese get our independence and they break themselves from the north to be a free, as called South Sudanese.
Those are voices of South Sudanese on the streets of Juba expressing their feelings about South Sudan's 10th independence anniversary. Sheila Pony collected this audio. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, a disabled South Sudanese military official says he has been neglected by the Ministry of Defense. Find out why after this break.
Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. A major in South Sudan's People's Defense Force with a physical disability is accusing the country's Minister of Defense of ignoring his plea for financial support to undergo an operation. Major Bol Machor broke his leg in the line of duty in Juba. He says he has been sent back a number of times by the Minister of Defense for documents he has already submitted to the ministry. The press secretary in the office of the Minister of Defense denies seeing any documents from Bol and says Bol's name is not in the list of soldiers to be supported. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
60-year-old Bol Machor, a major in the South Sudan People's Defense Force, says he was born disabled due to polio but joined the SPLA in 1986 despite his disability to fight for his people's freedom. While he was in charge of an archive unit at Bilfar Military Headquarters in 2016, Major Machor says he fell down a flight of stairs and broke one of his legs. Machor says he requested the leadership of the army to put ramps on the staircases for the disabled, but no one took action. He says he was taken to Juba Military Hospital, where doctors inserted an iron rod in his leg to support it, but the rod did not work. Machor was referred to a Khartoum hospital where doctors operated on his spinal cord, claiming he had a sickness called spondylosis, a painful condition of the spine resulting from the degeneration of the intervertebral discs. Machor says he has been living with a lot of pain and believes the metal rod in his leg is breaking down due to an infection. The war veteran says he has a letter from the director of Juba Military Hospital requesting that the Minister of Defense and well-wishers provide him with financial support to address his injuries.
I met with the Minister of Defense. She promised me some months back that she will do something. Maybe she have a lot of work. I don't know. She said she misplaced my papers. She promised me to bring a photocopy. I brought, no, she said again, she needs an original copy from Dr. Chap. Dr. Chap said, no, he's not going to do it again because he has already written to me and She was told, he was told by the minister that there is no cash. And minister asked me again to go back to him without the written document. How can you tell somebody to go verbally to go to Dr. Chap and say, no, it's an order. Go and tell him. Chap say, no, I cannot do anything. So I was left like that.
Machar says he has noticed that most people with a disability are neglected in the South Sudan People's Defense Force. He says he was surprised to be told by officials at military headquarters he cannot receive financial support because he was born disabled. He says he needs 4 emergency operations on the leg, a knee, his hip and his back.
If there is somebody who can come across to help my situation, because I'm very desperate, I've been psychologically down. Because I've tried the leadership of the movement to help me. Yes, I joined the SPLA as a person with disability. In those age, thinking one day I will be appreciated. But unfortunately, nobody appreciated me. I didn't know that I will be told, bald, you are not wounded by bullets. That you came as it is. And SPLA consider people who are wounded in the battlefield.
Machar says if he had known the definition of disability in the SPLA movement, he would have thought twice before joining. He says he has remained in the rank of major since he was promoted several years ago by Dr. John Garang, yet his colleagues and juniors now have higher ranks compared to him.
If they don't need me in the military, I can be taken to civil servant. 2, I can be a supplier. I can be a businessman if I am given a loan, okay? I can stand on my own. But I cannot be neglected. Yeah. Okay. South Sudan still have many rooms to help and give chance to others. Why? There are some people who can come today, Winnie, and they're given chances and they're given ranks without their education, without anything. This is my right constitutionally to do something else. And with the worst things, Winnie, when you talk, people will just go and give quick conclusion that many they're mentally disturbed. He's mad. He has hallucination. Okay. And we know many of them are not capable like us, but they throw us away.
Colonel Lampo Gabriel, press secretary in the office of the Minister for Defense, Angelina Teng, says he confirmed from Teng that she did not receive any documents from Machar.
We went through the list of people who have come to us for help in the Ministry of Defense on an individual basis. We missed that name. Up to now, we don't have that name on our list. But we'll really refer him to go back to his unit and go to the chief to find out whether his name is on one of those lists, because we always receive lists that comes from the defense, let me say the military unit, or from the general headquarters of the SSPDF. Now, that list is always either the minister will refer it back to the chief for verification to make sure that, okay, these are genuine cases, because we have people who just want to receive money, but they're not sick.
When this program contacted the spokesman of the South Sudan People's Defense Forces, Major General Lulwai Kong, for comment, Kong referred us to the Commission for Wounded Heroes. The person in charge of wounded soldiers declined to comment, saying he has a seminar to attend. Many families of wounded soldiers and widows told this program that the government of South Sudan has ignored them despite the sacrifices made by their loved ones during the war for independence. For VOA News, I am Winnie Sereno in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Geneva, where the World Health Organization is calling for an urgent action to stem the rapid spread of COVID-19 across Africa, which is being fueled by the surge of more contagious variants of the disease. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Latest reports say COVID-19 cases in Africa have been rising by 25% every week for the past 6 weeks, bringing reported cases there to more than 5.4 million, including 141,000 deaths. WHO Regional Director for Africa, Machidiso Moeti, warns the rampant spread of the more contagious Alpha, Beta, and Delta variants is raising the pandemic threat across the continent to a new level.
The speed and scale of Africa's third wave is like nothing we've seen before. Cases are doubling every 3 weeks compared to every 4 weeks at the start of the second wave. Almost 202,000 cases were reported in the past week, and the continent is on the verge of exceeding its worst week ever in this pandemic.
In the same period, WHO reports deaths have risen by 15% across 38 African countries to nearly 3,000. The jump is largely due to the highly transmissible coronavirus variants, which have spread to dozens of countries. The most contagious Delta variant has been found in 16 countries. It reportedly has become the dominant strain in South Africa. Moeti says more people are falling ill and requiring hospitalization, even people younger than 45 years. She says evidence is growing that the Delta variant is causing longer and more severe illness. With Africa's lack of life-saving vaccines, Moeti says it is important for people to practice public health measures such as wearing masks, social distancing, and frequent hand washing to prevent the disease from spreading.
With WHO's guidance, countries are taking action to curb the rise in cases. All countries in resurgence in the region have put limits on people gathering to help with physical distancing. They are using nuanced, risk-based approaches informed by the local epidemiology in an effort to avoid nationwide lockdowns that we know cause great harm to livelihoods, particularly for low-income households.
Vaccines are proving highly effective against the COVID-19 variants and in ending devastating surges of severe cases of the disease. They are widely available in the world's richest countries, but not Africa. Moeti is urgently appealing to countries to share their excess doses to help plug the continent's vaccine gap, saying Africa must not be left languishing in the throes of its worst wave yet. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
That's all we prepared for you today. We now leave you with Silver X and WJ with the song Lotole.
Baby Juba, Skizzle rapping at your Washington WJ. He's so Juba terrific.
Washington,
don't cry no more, baby Juba, don't cry no more. Osiri Mpenzi wangu, don't cry no more, baby Juba, don't cry no more. Osiri Mpenzi wangu, baby Juba.
Iya panya kadunia de akitoki, yeah. Kani tabi shilu aga wat, pole tabi katulu zori ya sabi kele ainu. Itabukura biliko taki, ana bukura biliko. Itami pekiri gali, ina belvi geni tet zede ya ya. Ina bukla bikuna sani kama ya 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 ya. Arabi gule inta bye bye, Arabi gule inti bye bye. Iya haya taduli ya di akito bi ya 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 ya. WJ ya ubi keli mle itu oh oh ya. Lotole, Arabi gule bye bye.
Excuse me, Mr. Greedy. It's been a long time you are used me, but this time, no time for Joey, no time for Joey, no time for Joey. Mama, kila kitu iko sawa. Papa, nimepata pata pata bibi. Mama yo, kila kitu iko sawa. Papa yo, nimepata pata pata bibi. I'm just a refugee. I'm not living a lie. Don't do my reform. Baby, don't cry no more. Don't stress no more.
We have been listening to Silver X and WJ with their song Lotole. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
It's so jumarefe. Mr. Lotole, amekwenda jake sasa skita kuja kwangu kubwa na mi. Milele na milele. Yo kwa nite yo. Mr. Lotole, alotole si. Nini pati, mini pakelo mine. Unite, ma
Mama me na nwake
Adotonesi Sala kede mo amene
Don't cry no more
Baby Juba
Baby Juba don't cry no more
Osiri mpenzi wangu
Don't cry no more
Baby Juba
Baby Juba don't cry no more